coming to you live from the top secret broadcasting bunker here at Area 52, deep in the heart of the Black Forest of Germany. This is Pastor Mike, and I'm online, and I am live with you today, and I've got some I'm a little upset at what I found out today. This is really got me bothered, and I don't know how to break the news to everybody. I mean, news like this, you just almost take a beating rather than just tell it to people, but here goes. This is from SandraRose.com. Lady Gaga's hairstylist quits. Says she's a devil worshiper. The internet is buzzing about Lady Gaga's hairstylist suddenly quitting after accusing her of being a devil worshiper, which is what everyone thought she was anyway. Now, I don't know if this is a joke or not. I looked at the date of this article. Somebody sent it to me, and it's dated Friday, September 16th, 2011. So apparently this is just old news. But anyway, Lady Gaga's hairstylist, which you would think would probably be a very high-paid, busy person, says that she is a Satan worshiper. And her hairstylist name, now, I don't know if this is made up or not. Michael Pooter. P-O-O-T-E-R. Pooter. I would change my last name if I thought that I was going to try to get anybody to be serious about me. And hey, Mike, what's your last name? Pooter. I think I would change my last name. Michael Pooter, who's cut Gaga's hair since January 2010, took his family and went into hiding after making some wild accusations about the pop star. Pooter said he decided to quit because he couldn't take her staring at him anymore. He said in an interview for Stylist of the Blank magazine, I won't read that, that when he confronted her about the staring, she told him she would eat his children if he ever told anyone. Let's see. Here's a quotation. She was usually liquored up on cheap whiskey when she came in for treatment. One day she was mumbling more than normal, which I found out later was her actually speaking in tongues. I saw the number 666 on her scalp, and I quickly asked for God to protect me. She rose up out of her chair and floated 3 feet above the ground while yelling, "Your God is not here, Michael. Neither will he ever be. Now give me some more highlights and trim my bangs, you worthless expletive." So as you can probably figure out about me, this news has me quite upset today. Let me read some other news. I got a video that I want to show you. It's actually left over from last week that I want to get to today. This involves Patricia King. If you do not know anything about her, fine. You can go to sleep at night and not care about Patricia King. She is another one of these, well, you'll find out what kind of person he is. I will let her describe her for you. What else is going on in the world today? The All-Seeing Eye, Surveillance Society of the New World Order, a video that we put out last year where I just sort of detailed all of the capabilities that our government has to monitor everything that everybody does. And one of the abilities that they have is the drones, the little winged watchers that fly over everybody all the time, and you don't know that they're there. And but anyway, the police have been using them, and this is interesting to me. This is an article that came out, yesterday, April 9th, 2012. Says, first man arrested with drone evidence vows to fight case. Now, I mean, we knew it was going to happen. We knew that at some point the police would be flying these drones over everybody's house, and they would get evidence on somebody, they would arrest them, and it would go to trial. And really what's on trial here is whether or not surveillance drones could be used. Now, the interesting thing about this, and this would ring sort of in the heart of anybody who is of a conspiracy theory prone mentality, That would be me. Anybody who is worried that things are going ill in the halls of our government, that would be me. Anybody who is worried that a new world order is going to take over and dominate all of the nations of the world and all the religions of the world, that, again, would be me. And probably some of you as well. So here is the article. Where is this at? USnews.com. Here is their article. The tiny town of Lakota, North Dakota, is quickly becoming a key testing ground for the legality of the use of unmanned drones by law enforcement after one of its residents became the first American citizen to be arrested with the help of a predator surveillance drone. The bizarre case started when six cows wandered onto Rodney Brossert's 3,000-acre farm. Brossert, an alleged anti-government sovereigntist. Let me explain what that is. And let me share with you how that differentiates from Mike Haugerd. Number one, Mike Haugerd is not an anti-government anything. I believe in spiritual government. I believe in earthly government. I believe that God ordains governments over people. God will put people under peaceful authority or under cruel authority, depending on the nature of their sinfulness. You can read that all throughout the scripture. I am not anti-government. I feel that according to scripture, I feel that governments have a responsibility over the people of this earth. So I am not an anti-government anarchist. A sovereigntist is someone who believes that they are completely, then of themselves, they are completely sovereign and no, and I mean no earthly institution governs over them whatsoever. A sovereigntist actually is sort of like an anarchist, or I would just say that they are just in rebellion, because everybody in the world is going to be under some sort of dominion, whether that's good or bad. Everybody is going to be. So this guy describes himself as a sovereigntist, and that's what that means. More than likely. Now, from what I hear about sovereigntists, generally, they won't even get a driver's license. They won't have their vehicles licensed by the state. They don't recognize the sheriff when he comes rolling up. They don't recognize any of that authority. And so anyway, this guy, Rodney Brossert, is an anti-government sovereigntist. He believed he should have been able to keep the cows, so he and two family members chased police off his land with high-powered rifles. Not a good idea. After a 16-hour standoff, the Grand Forks Police Department SWAT team, armed with a search warrant, used an agreement they've had with Homeland Security for about 3 years and called in an unmanned aerial vehicle to pinpoint Brossard's location on the ranch. By the way, since we're dealing with the Department of Homeland Insecurity, have you been reading the headlines that have come out? I think they came out last week, and I've had about a dozen people send it to me. The fact that the Department of Homeland Insecurity has bought, what is it, something in the neighborhood of 450,000 rounds of hollow point ammunition. What's up with that? Okay, now I don't like to make speculations. I don't like to guess like, I don't know, some other people do. But the facts are the facts. Why is it that the Department of Homeland Insecurity needs 450,000 rounds of hollow point ammunition? Why do they need that? That's just a big question in my mind. Why do they need it? When in actuality, if you want to just look at the history of America, I am one of these that thinks that if we want to keep our country safe, I think there's no better people in the whole world to do that than the American citizen. I think a well-armed American citizen is probably your best defense in the whole world against all enemies of the Constitution, both foreign and domestic. Are there domestic enemies of the United States Constitution? Well, let's think about that for a minute. I think there are. And so anyway, the Sheriff's Department called the Department of Homeland Insecurity and said, yeah, we need one of them there flying drones out here. And so anyway, they wanted to pinpoint his location on the ranch. The SWAT team stormed in and arrested Brossard on charges of terrorizing a sheriff, theft, criminal mischief, and other charges, according to the documents. Brossard says he had no clue they used a drone during the standoff until months after his arrest. "We're not laying over here playing dead on it," says Brossard, who is scheduled to appear in court on April 30th. He believes what the SWAT team did was definitely illegal, which is kind of funny because if you are a anti-government sovereignist, how could you use government law against itself? So we'll see how that turns out. Here is another article. This is from ChristianPost.com, leaving up to Christian Post to put up all the good stories out there. This is not an April Fool's joke. You know what? I didn't get a chance on April Fool's Day to play an April Fool's joke, and I've done that before, but I didn't get a chance to. I guess I kind of got put out of the mood when I got electrocuted on April the 1st, 2006. I've not been really in the mood to pull jokes on people. Anyway, April 1st, 2012, ChristianPost.com. Ohio pastor puts stripper pole next to pulpit to talk sex. With a bed and a stripper pole placed next to his pulpit, a pastor in Ohio is all set to begin a series of sermons on sex and relationships beginning Sunday. Does anybody but me see that there's something not quite kosher about this? Ready to start a new sermon series called Battle of the Sexes, Pastor Mike Scruggs at the Light of Word Ministries in White Oak, Ohio, has put a stripper pole, video games, and sports equipment on one side of the pulpit, representing what men desire. On the other side, he has set up a bed with candles, teddy bears, roses, and a bottle of wine to depict what women want. Does anybody besides me, without getting a picture of this up on the stage, see the symbolism of the duality here? Just let me read this again. On one side of the stage, here's the pastor, and on one side of the stage, he puts a stripper pole, video games, sports equipment on one side. And then on the other side, he puts a bed with candles, teddy bears, roses, a bottle of wine to depict what women want. Now, I already have several issues with this. Number one, who is it in the church that went out and bought a bottle of wine for a stage prop? But anyway, do you see the duality here? Here we have opposites. And if I can just kind of explain this in a simplified way, when God had me several years ago reading the Da Vinci Code, it sort of got in my mind about this idea of opposites, and I just started going through the Bible making a list of opposites, and I saw right off the bat, God created light and he created darkness, but he divided the light from the darkness, and he separated them. And all through the scriptures, you'll see a separation of things that are opposite one another. Then when you get to Genesis chapter 6, you have this idea of the sons of God, male, sons of God, which represents the heavenly realm, and the daughters of men. Daughters and sons are opposite one another. Sons of God, daughters of men, they're opposite one another. And yet the two of them unite, and let me say, irregardless of what your opinion is concerning Genesis chapter 6, let me express this biblical concept so that you understand how important it is, how important Genesis 6 is in understanding what is going to happen in the last days. And I'm going to tie this in with another article that I have pulled up here in a second. Even if you say that the sons of God are not angels, okay, but let's look at this concept the Bible's laying out for us. Sons of God, daughters of men. They're opposite. And every place in the Bible, I mean, I had just opened my Bible up a while ago. Probably can't do it again. In the book of Deuteronomy, where it was talking about how a man ought not wear the apparel of a woman, and a woman should not wear the apparel of a man. God is absolutely serious about things that are opposite one another, that they stay separate. What concord hath Christ with Belial? What agreement hath the temple of God with idols? What fellowship hath light with darkness? What communion do the things of God have to do with the things of darkness? They absolutely none. And that's interesting, because when the Bible says, what concord hath Christ with Belial, go back to the story of how Jesus was approached in the wilderness and tempted by the devil. What was it the devil was trying to get him involved in? He was trying to get him into a contract with him, a concord. He was trying to get the devil to make an agreement. The devil said, here is all the kingdoms, and I have them, and I can give them to whoever I want to. I will give them to you if you will bow to me. That was an agreement. That was a contract the devil was trying to promote. And so here this idea is that devil is saying, here, Jesus, I'll give you all this stuff if you'll just bow down to me. And Jesus, of course, said no. Why? Because he knows the word of God. He knows that Jesus never enters into a contract or an agreement with the devil. Neither should you, by the way. When the devil will tempt you with anything in this world and tell you, if you go ahead and do this, it'll be no big deal. Don't worry about it. I'll leave you alone. Don't believe him. But anyway, the things in the Bible are to be separate. And so here this pastor, if I were to walk into this church being well-versed on the art of symbolism, by the way, people have asked me where to get this book from. It's Masonic and Occult Symbols Illustrated from Kathy Burns. You could probably get it at Amazon.com. And it's a pretty good book out there. And I will mention that Kathy, she's written a very, very well-documented book. But Kathy Burns does not believe that the sons of God were angels. And so that's no big deal to me or you or anybody else. But anyway, being well-versed in symbolism, if I were to walk into this church and I were to see on this stage here this pastor with men's stuff on one side and women's stuff on the other, you might be saying, well, you know, he's keeping them separate. Not in this sermon series, he's not. Okay? So the article goes on to say, it says, on all Sundays in April, Scruggs will share about best practices in bedroom, keeping intimacy alive, and the need to build and maintain trust. Right now, we're having single people having too much sex. What? Stop right here. The pastor said that the single people are fornicating too much. What is wrong with that statement? The pastor, who knows the word of God, should have said the single people should not be fornicating at all, because that's exactly what it is. It is fornication. But then he says, right now we're having single people having too much fornication and married people not having enough. What business is it of any pastor who thinks that for some reason he's got to get involved in everybody in his church's marriage and tell them, you're not together enough? That is none of that pastor's business. There is not anything in this Bible that tells me as a pastor that I need to get inside all the married people in my church's bedroom and find out what's going on there. And I'll just tell you, I'm just going to tell you what I think. That's kind of funny, because that's what I do anyway. I'm going to tell you what I think. I think these pastors that put on this kind of show, I think they have dirty minds. I think that they have eyes full of adultery, the way the Bible says. I think that they are, what terminology the Bible's using? They have eyes full of adultery, and they are evil thoughts or something. I can't think of what I'm trying to say here, but I think that that's who they are. This dawned on me several years ago, back even before I started the Watchman video broadcast. A pastor was bragging about he was starting Bible studies in Hooters restaurant. Okay? And in case you don't know what that is, it's these little restaurants that are pretty much for adults, for men, for male adults, with scantily clad waitresses. It's almost like the Playboy Club, only they're not wearing bunny ears. And this pastor was talking about how he was bragging about how he was putting Bible studies in these Hooters restaurants, and he was bragging about that. And I'm going, oh, I get you. I understand you. You're not interested in Jesus Christ. You're not interested in the testimony of a Christian. You're not interested in the scripture. I can tell you what you are interested in. And that's what I think about all these pastors putting all this stuff up on the stage, is that they have their filthy dream. That's what it was. Filthy dreamers. You know what that means? They fantasize. They sit around and fantasize about all the people they want to be in bed with. That's who these pastors are. The article goes on to say the pastor will also encourage married couples in the church to take the sex experiment based on the book by Pastor Ed Young. You remember that? Where he said, perform rituals for 7 days, calling on married couples. And I almost can't even read some of this stuff. The quote is, who better than the church to really bring clarity to this? What I call this holy concept that has been ordained by God, said fellow pastor Ennis Tate, who was quoted as saying this. On Friday, Pastor Scruggs held a pre-kickoff service for singles, which drew a packed house. Well, of course it does. You cannot allure through the lust of the flesh and then preach the gospel. One of the last straws that I had with the, it wasn't necessarily the denomination's fault, but one of the last straws that I had with my encounter with the Free Will Baptist in going to the Missouri Youth Camp, which we used to go to every year, where I was saved. I remember the place, the night, the tears, the altar. I remember everything, just about everything about that night, and I was saved there. And I used to go down there and work and labor for those children because I knew what God can do with them. And then a change took place in that camp, and they started changing. See, it all starts with the music. Got to change the music. And they invited this youth pastor in who was a few years older than me, and he was one of the big wigs in the denominational's youth outreach program, one of the top dogs. And they told him, they said, now when you come, we only ask that you use a King James Bible. And that made him angry. That made him mad. He said, I don't even know if I own one. So out of rebellion, he went and bought a new King James Bible, held it up the whole time. Five sermons he preached that week, and never one time quoted scripture. Never one time. And so he's talking about, he's teaching, quote unquote, from the book of Esther. And I can remember about a dozen and a half things that he said that week, one of which was he planted the idea in these young people's minds about Queen Vashti being brought before the king naked. Now, that's not in the scriptures, but that's what he said. Now, some scholars think it's this way, and I'm going, here you are planting in these people's minds, these young people's minds, already before you quote-unquote preach the gospel. Now you planted in these young people's minds a picture of a naked woman. And then the next night, he is referring to himself as being in the bathtub eating cereal, and now he's playing another image in people's minds about him being naked in the bathtub. One night, he talked about how he used to play football in Springfield, Missouri, the same time Brad Pitt was going to school there, and he said, I'm reasonably sure that I got to touch Brad Pitt on his backside. And that's his week. That's what he's doing all week. And I'm going, this guy's a filthy dreamer. We quit going after that because I raised some objections during the week about what this guy was preaching, and nobody did anything about it. Maybe somebody tried to talk to him, I don't know. But that was about it. And so anyway, I get it with these guys. They are filthy dreamers, and they think that they can allure through the lust of the flesh and then try to give you the gospel. That is a faulty way of doing it. It won't work. It's abominable. The Bible says that they have turned the grace of God into lasciviousness. That's exactly what the Bible says. And then we have this story here. I've had this up here for a week now. Naturalnews.com. A lot of you go to this website. Now, I don't know if I've expressed this to you before or not. And this may come as quite as a shock to people. But for the most part, I am not a health food person. I know that's a shocker for you. Okay? And I don't have any particular reason why I'm not that much into organic or health or whatever. I do know that since I went to the doctor the last time, I have changed my diet. I've lost about 20 some odd pounds and still working on losing weight. And I believe in all that stuff and so on and so on. But anyway, naturalnews.com. A lot of you go to this website, you read it. The guy here, what is his name? Mike Adams, the health ranger, the editor of naturalnews.com, is a New Ager. Okay? And I've read enough of his articles to know that that's what he is. He's a New Ager. Anyway, he says, the article says, are earthlings an invasive species soon to be exterminated by a technologically advanced race of beings who protect life? And I won't go into the whole thing reading the article. You can go to naturalnews.com and find the article. But he gives all these details, 56 billion planets that there could be out there, and some of them are not too far away. And he talks about we earthlings, and he talks about the fact that there's probably alien life, and he gets into a discussion about the origins of life, and he tends to lean in the direction that maybe we were seeded here by the aliens, and on and on and on. But and the only reason why I bring this up is that I want you to be careful. I want you to be careful. Those of you who follow a healthy diet, and I mean that, if you can do that, go for it. Okay? And I know some people that do, and I think that's I think it's wonderful. I wish that I had the inclination to eat a little bit better than what I want to eat. What I want to eat is McDonald's and Chinese food and large amounts of pasta with meatballs about that big around, and that's what I want to eat. Okay? Stuff where you bite into it and stuff runs all down your chin. That's what I like. Okay? It is hard to bite into a carrot and have stuff run all down your chin. Okay? I like carrots, but it's just hard to do that. And what I just want to tell you is that, let's see, what was his name again? Mike Adams, the health ranger at naturalnews.com, is a New Ager. Be careful about what you're reading on the internet. Be careful about who's writing it. Be careful of those things. Now, let me get to what I wanted to get to here. And I see some of you writing in, and I'm going to try to get to those here shortly. This is a video by Patricia King. She is, you can tell by looking at her that she's not a natural blonde. She just acts like a natural blonde. And I can say you can tell by looking at her because you can see the brown roots or the black or whatever, the multicolored hair, okay? And she is, if you just want to get a glimpse of who she is and what kind of person she is and what she promotes, listen to what she's promoting now on the internet. Let's see, I pulled this up last week, and it was real familiar with my mind, and I'm glad I made notes on it. She's promoting a new kind of worship called Club Mysterio. Okay, so listen to some of the language that she puts into this little promotional video. I'm going to pull it up here, and I'm going to hit go, and you just take a listen for a second. This is a YouTube video.
Have you ever heard the term ecstasis worship? No? Well, many people haven't. It's a powerful word. It's a Greek word that means, well, you'll find out in a little while, because I want to introduce to you Caleb Brundage. He's one of our itinerant ministries, but also just a worshiper with so much passion. In fact, if you've been to any of our conferences, you'll see Caleb flagging and worshiping God and opening up the heavens and operating in a real breaker-level anointing.
Hold on right there. Hold on. Stop. Opening up the heavens. Okay? And you listen to what she said. She's saying that this guy, with his worship practices, what he does is that he opens up the heavens. If you will just read and believe the King James Bible, you will know how wrong that is. The book of Malachi talks about, will a man rob God, and yet you have robbed me, but you say, when have we robbed thee in tithes and offerings? He says, In verse 10 of Malachi chapter 3, bring you all the tithes into the storehouse that there may be meat in mine house. And prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be enough room to receive it. Man does not open up heaven. Man doesn't do that. Man cannot perform. It's almost like you go back, you know, 1,000 years ago to all these tribes all over the place that have a rain dance, and they perform the dance and do the ritual the right way and say the magic words, and now it's going to open up the heavens and rain. That's witchcraft. Okay? Breaker, what was it? Breaker level anointing or something like that. This guy is going to open up the heaven. It implies that if you don't get in with her, you're not going to get anything. That's just my first part. Let's get to the rest of it.
He actually is a DJ as well and leads a lot of Christian events and weddings and just high school events and things like that. So if you would ever like to know more about him, he's on our itinerant page on our website. But today he's going to tell you about Club Mysterio and about the ecstasis worship that takes place during those times of gathering together. So it's my privilege to introduce to you Caleb Brundage.
See Lady Gaga in there.
This generation is hungry for the mysteries of God. This generation longs to experience God in a way, in an abandoned way, like never before. They long to release their passion for God. When we're making decrees and we're praising God, the music and you're jumping and you're dancing and you're moving around, well, the words that we're speaking becomes one at a cellular level in your body, and it's not like you're learning it. It's part of who you are. It's no longer that you have to study the word. It's no longer that you have to study the word. It's no longer that you have to study the word. When you're inside of a infused atmosphere with dancing and your body is moving and the word is coming and the music, it becomes part of you. And it's just like, oh man, with the rhythm, the sound, and the repetitiveness of the music, the word is living into your body, not just your mind, not just your soul, but the whole mind, body, and soul. Ecstasis worship is worship that when you go outside of your mind, when you go outside of your mind, when you go outside of your mind.
Now, Jesus said, but when ye pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. And I cannot emphasize to you enough the dangers of things like that. And he was right. Ecstasis is where we get the word ecstasy from. Ek is a Greek word which means out. Stasis means that your stasis, your body. It's an out of body experience is what it is, or out of your mind. You're losing control. Basically, he's bringing you into a hypnotic state or a drunken state, the way the Bible would talk about it. Patricia King promotes this, and I don't know who all else promotes this, but this is precisely some of the things that I have been teaching is not just me, the Bible. The Bible teaches against these things. I recorded today the Pure Bible Study. It'll come out tomorrow. Tomorrow I will go ahead and record the Watchman broadcast. We will have one coming out this Sunday. By the way, I'm going to remind you that I am not going to be here Thursday. I will be traveling on the way to Harrison, Arkansas for a camp meeting. That's why I had that song in my mind. We played it at the beginning. I like the old-time camp meeting songs, and we get down there and there's guitars and banjos and everything else. I mean, it's a good time, but it's just some good old guys that preach the old King James Bible, and I like going down there every year and I get a lot out of it. So I will not be here Thursday, and so I'm trying to catch up on all my work and have it ready for Sunday. But I recorded the Pure Bible Study today, and in that I dealt with the strange fire that Nadab and Abihu burnt or offered on the altar of incense. And incense is always a picture in the Bible of prayers. Okay? And when Nadab and Abihu offer strange fire on the altar of incense of the Lord, what they're doing is they're showing altered state of conscience, strange prayers, strange practices that are being done, and God does not take too kindly to that stuff, and he will deal with it one of these days. Fire came down from heaven onto Nadab and Abihu and consumed them. And Aaron knew that they were in error, and he held his peace. He didn't get mad at God one second for doing it. I want to do something right now. I've pulled up your emails, and there was one in particular that I wanted to get to. This was Edwin from Jakarta, and he is always faithful to stay up late at night and watch this. And he asked an interesting question, and I want to get to that before we run out of time, before I forget it. Because he just been so patient with me. He says, "Hi, Pastor Mike, it's Edwin. I have a question regarding when a person confesses he, she will be saved according to Romans 10:9. Romans 10:9 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved." He asked the question, how about the water baptism as a sign of Christ's death and resurrection? Acts 19:4. Then said Paul, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him which should come after him, that is on Christ Jesus. My point is, if one doesn't belong to a church anymore, especially those who do not preach from the KJV, can or should water baptism still be performed without a pastor? Meaning outside of a church. Please help to support this situation as I'm facing this question from a new believer, my niece. Thank you so much for your time. God bless you. This was Edwin. Edwin, let me deal with this scripturally. Number one, when a person is truly born again, they are already baptized inwardly by the Holy Spirit. Water baptism, I believe, is taught and is ordained in the scripture as a practice to show to those as a witness of what has happened, what has already happened on the inside. In other words, and I'm always careful to present this, water baptism does not add to salvation. It does not bring in salvation. It, in fact, does not save. Water baptism is an outward show of an inward change. Now, number two, do you need a church to be baptized in? Well, John baptized in the River Jordan. Philip baptized the Ethiopian eunuch in a body of water. And so, no, you don't need to be baptized in a church. Number three, and if anybody can correct me, then I will stand corrected. I do not believe that it's required that an ordained pastor baptize you. I don't believe that that is, in fact, a requirement according to Scripture. Now, I may be wrong. Brady and Bradley we've talked about their dad being water baptized. He's already saved. If he died today, he would go to heaven. But about water baptism, Brady and Bradley are not ordained, but I'm going to let them baptize their dad. And I think that's right and proper. And so, Edwin, if you're asking me and you're asking my humble opinion about you say you have a new believer, which is your niece, and you explain to her, according to Romans chapter 6, about water baptism, what it represents, that it's not saving them, they're already saved. Romans chapter 6, verse 3, know you not that so many of us were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into his death. Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. I think, Edwin, that so long as you baptize by immersion, showing what Romans chapter 6 says it shows, in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, I think that you are completely within your rights or your abilities as a fellow believer to, or let's say as an elder, you are this girl's elder, to baptize her by water baptism in the name of the Father and the Holy Spirit. Now, if someone has... can show me scripture. And I'm not being ignorant about this, but I'm just saying that's kind of what I get from the scripture. I don't think that an ordained minister is necessary for water baptism. Let's see. I'm just going to go through some emails today. I'm in an email mood. How's that? Okay. This is from Hendrick. Hendrick says, do you realize the Federal Reserve ends on December 21st, 2012? A completion of the 99-year contract entered into in 1913. I have never heard that before. Never. I would have to see some reliable evidence. I'm not saying you're a liar, Hendrick. I'm just saying I like to have evidence. I like to have stacks of papers that actually say that that's what it is. We only have a few months left to expose the money changers. Oh, to be more like Jesus makes me angry. Praise God. Blast it out. Hendrick, I can tell you that if Jesus comes back before December 2012, let's not wait. Let's get the word out now. Barbara, let's see here. Let's see here. Is asking me about a Skype invitation. I'll have to look into that later, Barbara. But write me at my other email address. Somebody named B. Stiegel. That's an interesting name. A great big howdy-doody to ye, Pastor Mike from Memphis. I saw this news report today. Have you ever heard of this practice? Looks like we in the United States are trying out the occult abilities of the god Allah. The portals are indeed being open. Beverly, let me give you some advice here. During the live broadcast, and this is something to keep in mind in future references, don't send me a link to an article while I'm online because I won't have time to pull it up and go through it. So just kind of give me an email about this big is what I'm looking for, all right? And I wouldn't mind looking into that later. It's just that I can't do it now. Virginia says, Mike, much love to you as usual. What do you think about the Pope prophecy? Oh, boy. You know what? I am not staying up late at night studying. Who was it? St. Malachy? I think that's what you're talking about. Made this prophecy concerning all the popes. And apparently, once Pope Benedict is out and they're speculating he's going to resign at any moment now, that the last pope is going to come into office and he's Petrus Romanus. Thank you, Jill. I'll be honest with you. I'll just be dead honest with you. I don't read, Nostradamus. I do not read Nostradamus. I have not looked at the Mayan calendar. I do not read the prophecies of St. Malachy concerning the popes. I don't read my horoscope. I don't get a copy of the National Enquirer and look at all the predictions for 2012. I don't do that. I don't trust that stuff. In 100% of the cases so far, it's all proven to be bogus and bunk. And so I don't follow that. I have a sure word of prophecy. And that's what I follow. And that's what I'm not being mean about this. I just want to encourage people to be careful what they're reading, who they're listening to, and where they're getting their prophecy-related information from. Get it from God first. And then when you start looking out elsewhere, then you can say, okay, this is that which was spoken by the word of the Lord. And so I really am not paying a whole lot of attention to that. But it's a good question, though, and I appreciate you bringing it up. Michelle writes in, hi, Michelle, how you doing? Department of Homeland Security needs all those bullets because the aliens are coming. That's exactly right, but I don't think bullets will stop them. Have you not read Superman? By the way, I was going to deal with something today, and I couldn't put it together. Somebody sent me this a couple years ago. It's a book called Our Gods Wear Spandex, and it's a book. It was written. You can get it probably Amazon.com or something like that. Somebody bought a copy of it and sent it to me. And it's got some really, really good information. It was written by someone who is not a Christian, written by someone who looks like a New Ager. And they're saying in here that all these comic book characters are actually based upon the mythologies that are out there concerning all the gods, okay? Like Superman. And stop and think about it. Superman is my absolute number one favorite character in the whole world, okay? I wanted so bad to be Superman, I couldn't stand it. Red Superman comics. I know the difference between gold and green and red kryptonite. I know that stuff. And you start thinking about it. His name from Krypton is Kal-El. El is God's name. Krypton means secret. Okay? He falls from the sky and he's a god. He's energized by the sun. He can fly. He can hear everything. He can see everything. He can do anything. He can stop time, make it go forward, backward. He can do anything he wants to. And oh, by the way, he married Lois Lane and they had a baby. I mean, think about that for a while. But anyway, and so why was I going off on that? Anyway, the aliens are bulletproof, and so the bullets won't work on them. Diane Nicolosi sent me a brief excerpt from an article. Catholic Cardinal George Pell says Adam and Eve are a myth and they didn't exist. And I actually had another article pulled up that I was going to read to you today, called The Four Big Myths of the Book of Revelation. This is on CNN.com. And it basically gives the liberal spiel about the Book of Revelation. And believe it or not, it's the same garbage that I listened to when I was in Bible college. I was being taught on the Book of Revelation by an amillennialist who said, number one, Book of Revelation is not about the end of the world. That's one of the myths. That number two, the number 666 meant something back then. It doesn't mean anything now. Number three, that the writer of Revelation, this is the myth, the writer of Revelation was a Christian, and they're saying, no, he wasn't. And my professor said that John was merely writing in a secret code language called apocalyptic language that was meant to disguise the fact that he was secretly talking about Nero, but he didn't want to get in trouble. And I don't believe that. I didn't believe it then, and I don't believe it now. But anyway, appreciate that. Gary downstairs is telling me that it wasn't 500,000 bullets, it was 500 million. And Gary's one of the, and they probably bought some of them from Gary. Gary is one of these guys. He tried to get into Canada one time, and you know how Canadians are with guns, and he pulls up to the Canadian check station there trying to cross the border, and they had, get out of your car, and he gets out of his car, and they said, yes, Mr. Ritz, do you have any weapons? And Gary looks at him and says, what do you need? Okay. Anyway, let's see here. Troy says, I know you preach against dreams and visions, like people on YouTube, etc. Everyone I try to tell this points me to verses that the old man will dream dreams and young men will see visions in the last days. Could you please speak in more detail on this subject? Love you, Pastor Mike. Keep on keeping on for God. I will, and I'll just address it the same way that I always have. And number one, you got to know that I believe the Bible, and I believe what it says, how it says it, and if it says this and God explains it the way he does, then I am fine with that, and I believe in that. Okay? The question, and here's what I've said in the past, is, have I ever had what I felt like were prophetic dreams? The answer is, yes, I think I have. Okay? Yes, I think I have. One in particular, I'm not going to share it. I'm not going to tell you what it is, okay? But one in particular that I felt like probably had some meaning to it. My point is, I don't trust, and I have a notebook with about probably a dozen of them in there. My point is, I don't know that I trust what I dreamed. I don't know. I don't think that I can. I don't trust what I think. I don't trust what I dream. But I do trust the dreams and the visions that are here in the Word of God. That's what I trust. I trust them beyond any shadow of any doubt. And I also, when I see dreams and visions in the Bible, I don't have to explain them or have somebody else explain them. Stan Johnson tried to explain one of my dreams to me. He said, let me tell you what that's all about. And I'm just listening to him going, okay, I shouldn't have said anything to you. Stan Johnson is all about dreams and visions. Oh, I had a dream the other day. Oh, my wife had a dream this. And everything he does is based upon a dream or a vision. And God was using him at that time in my life to kind of drive me away and say, Mike, don't trust this stuff. Don't trust this stuff. And so what I'm telling you is, Troy, if I came to you and said, now, Troy, God gave me a vision or dream last night for you, okay? Do this. Don't trust me, okay? I can tell you that God is never going to be so angry with you because you didn't believe someone that said, I had a dream about you the other night. He will, however, have a problem with you not believing his word or believing in something that contradicts the word. And I can tell you a lot of the dreams and vision stuff that's going on right now directly contradicts the King James Bible. Or it's intended as an addition. People will say, well, I know it's in the Bible, but this is like an extra thing God is adding to us to help us operate in these last days. Don't believe that stuff, okay? If you feel like that God has given you a significant dream or vision, make a note of it. And I can tell you that if you will search the scriptures and you'll call upon the name of the Lord, God will tell you whether or not that dream is valid or not. Does that sound fair enough? Okay. Let's see here. Elizabeth from London looks like she, I am seriously considering leaving my church as the pastor won't listen to me about the KJB. I can't find a KJB church near me, but I'm hoping to meet with some other women who believe as I do. Do we need a pastor to oversee us? Elizabeth, I'm going to have to say yes. Okay? I'm going to have to say yes. Where there is authority, there's protection. Okay? When you put yourself under the authority of a bishop, an overseer, a pastor, and I've even run into some of these people, and WorldNet Daily put this out about a year ago, that even, and they were basing it upon some guy's book, that even the word pastor or bishop is unbiblical, and nobody can be a pastor or bishop. Or it had this idea that every church had to have multiple bishops ruling over them, and that is not scriptural. But I believe in pastoral authority in so much as putting yourself under the authority of a pastor. And when I say authority, I don't mean, that doesn't mean that I get to tell you what dress to wear, what shoes to put on, who you should marry, or this and that and the other. That is not within the bounds of my authority as pastor over this church. There are people out there who call me pastor, and that is because they feel like God has led them to put themselves, and as far as what they're believing about scriptures, what they're believing about this and that and the other, to put themselves under my particular teaching. I hope I'm making sense here, okay? Even though they live 500 miles away, 1,000 miles away, or whatever. Pastor Olo in Nairobi, Kenya, asked me if he could be my son in the ministry. Will you be my father? And I said, no, but I'll be your brother. But I understand what he's asking. He's asking me to train him and to teach him. So he is putting himself under what I'm teaching because he wants to learn that. And so, Elizabeth, I would say that, yes, I think, and I this trying to follow scripture, I think that everybody needs a pastor. If you want that to be me, I think no matter where you're living, I think that you can do that. If you cannot find a local pastor, I personally would not put myself under the spiritual authority of someone who said, now in your Bible, doesn't even in your Bible it says this, but it doesn't really mean that. It says something else. I personally could not put myself under the authority of somebody who doubted the Bible. And so I understand the position you're in, and I'm not looking to count how many people are under me, so I can I don't care. But if you want me to be your pastor, I would say that that's perfectly legitimate. Gary's sending me word now that Santorum has just suspended his presidential run, and it looks like that's exactly the way the Drudge Report wanted it. Let's see here. James, 450 million rounds of ammo. Appreciate that. Adam writes in and says, here are interesting scriptural truths on gods/angels. Exodus 22:28, thou shalt not revile the gods, nor curse the ruler of thy people. John chapter 10, verse 34, Jesus answered them, is it not written in your law? I said, you're gods. If you called them gods, unto whom the word of the Lord, word of God came, the scripture cannot be broken. Acts chapter 7, verse 53 says, who have received the law by the disposition of angels and have not kept it. Good verses here, Adam. I'm not exactly sure where you're wanting me or you're wanting to head in that direction. But anyway, Watcher Doyle in Nederland. Adrian, how are you doing today? My wife and I, when we were lost, lived in sin, shacked up for 6.5 years. Now we have been married for nearly 2.5 years. God's way is so much better. Amen to that. And I appreciate you writing that. God's way is always better. And I don't care what it is. Search the scriptures and find out God's way in it. Let's see here. Brian, in response to the video that we showed, filthy dreamers lead silly women away captive. Amen to that. Let's see here. Chris writes in. How you doing, Chris? Thanks for preaching the word, Pastor Mike. Praying for you and your church. Appreciate that. Pray that this Sunday I don't have to go running out during the service to the bathroom. Okay? Just help me pray about that. And I mean it. It only happens on Sunday for some reason. I don't know why. Anyway, on April 6th, Friday, there were some UFO orange orbs in the sky. I had a dream a year ago where there were UFOs outside, and I was praying in the dream. So Friday night, I went inside, got my King James Bible, and said the Lord's Prayer and Psalms out loud, the sky, rebuking the orbs in the name of Jesus. After, deliver us from evil. One of the three orbs, which is in a triangle formation, dissipated. I kept praying for 5 minutes. Another orange light in the shape of a cartoon dialogue caption came out of nowhere and went up and then dissipated. I apparently was ready for that moment. I went right out there with my Bible and put all my faith in the Lord. Amen. I have no footage, but a Google search of UFO reports on this date will show similar sightings. Chris, I would accept that on the basis that, number one, I believe that the UFO phenomenon, by and large, they are devils. Number two, I would agree with that because you use the King James Bible. Number three, I agree with that because... And I did some study this morning about the power of the Word of God. Did you know the power of the Bible has the ability to drive away devils? I mean, Jesus, that's how he did it, with the power of his words. And so, Chris, I have no reason, based upon what you told me here, I have no reason to say, you're way off, there's something wrong with you. I have no reason to say that. So appreciate you writing that in. Deborah, praying for you, your family, and your ministry. What do you know about the Bilderberg meeting in Haifa? Is it in Haifa this year? Haifa, that's interesting. That's Israel. Think about it. Let's see here. John, my buddy John, my hunting buddy John, says, please warn others. Yes, we should warn others about Patricia King. She just gets on my nerves. Colleen in Canada says you have to be so careful about anything to do with organic healthy foods lifestyle, as it is always will lead to the new age. Just eat good food that God made. You must filter through a lot of the health food and info, otherwise you'll get trapped right into the new age. And I've had very well-meaning people. I remember right before I had my shoulder surgery, I had somebody up in Rochester, and they were just well-intentioned and well-meaning. And I mentioned something about having to have operation on my shoulder. And they said, oh, please, please, Pastor, before you let them carve on you and cut on you and they make it sound like they're going to use a chainsaw, please, Pastor, before you do that, would you swallow this or chew this up or drink this? I don't remember what it is they were telling me. But here's what they said. They said, what these things will do is they will activate the body's natural healing energies, that the body naturally has these healing energies inside of you, and they're going to release them. And right then, I'm just going, I don't think so. I don't know. And somebody asked me this question one time in an email, and I said, I know of no place in the Bible, none anywhere, where the Bible talks about we have healing energies trapped inside of our body that we need to release and let them flow. I can tell you that is a New Age doctrine, but it's not a Bible doctrine. So, again, Adam, I appreciate you saying that. Please, or who was it? Colleen, please be careful about what you're buying into when it comes to some of this stuff, all right? Adam says, do you believe that the spirits in prison... Oh, there's my music. Do you believe that the spirits in prison mentioned in 1 Peter chapter 3 are the fallen sons of God mentioned in Genesis 6? Yes! That is exactly what I believe. Well, I feel like I didn't accomplish anything today. I don't know if I helped you today or not. I always have it as a goal every time I do something that I want to be a help and benefit to people. I hope that something I said today was a blessing to you and not a curse. And I hope that you got something out of this time that you spent with me today. I don't take it for granted that you just automatically have to show up just because I'm opening my mouth. I am much appreciative of it and appreciate you. May the Lord bless you and guide you and be with you and be praying for our ministry and our work and our labor and pray against the devil's attacks. And yes, Michelle, I see that. And I appreciate that. And she makes a good point. Michelle says, I drink organic coffee and I am not a New Ager. And I appreciate that. You don't have to be. Okay? You don't have to be if you want to follow these dietary ideas. Just be careful about the people that are putting out this stuff. All right? I love you. Appreciate you. God bless you. And I will see you tomorrow night. Live during the Wednesday night Bible study. See ya. Beware of the blob.